For those that don't know me, my name is Sean Clare. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm going to put this down. I brought water this time because I'm feeling a little parched right off the bat. I'm thinking I'll get to a place where all of a sudden my words won't come out. So, last time I talked, about 6 weeks ago, I was really hearing God around challenging us around our culture, you know, and how we move with God. And God showed up. The response that you guys had to him on that was just awesome. And I noticed, I don't know if you noticed it, but like there was a shift in like, paying attention to some of the important things. And there was like after in the services and the word being preached, in the altar calls and like people connecting to God, it just there was a difference in that. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. You know, and I don't know if you like recognize it, like last week Chuck preached, Pastor Chuck from Kingdom Life, and fairly quick, you know, a lot of people were on their way, you know, holiday season and all. But there was a couple of young men here. I don't know if they're here tonight. If they are, that's awesome. But one of them just got bowled over in the Spirit of God, and they were visitors, you know. And I was just like, thank you, Jesus. You know, because I don't know about you, but I want us to have a culture in this house where we're moving with God and what he's doing in such a way that when people come here, they experience God in a profound way, where they get freedom, where they experience love, they get overwhelmed with peace. Whatever way God wants to show up so that people experience more of him, I want there to be such a level of freedom for that to happen that we're moving with God in such a way when people come here, they know they've met with God. You know, I don't know if you've heard, like, there have been these great revivals in the church history where the people in the house were praying and desiring God so much that something around that frees God up. I don't understand it. I mean, I could have a theology, and I'm sure there are theologies around that. Personally, there's just a lot about God I just don't understand, right? And I've heard the theologies, and I'm like, yeah, that could be right, but I don't know. It just doesn't. There's just, I don't think there's words to describe it, honestly, right? And so I don't really have a great explanation of how this works, but obviously, like, we play a role in it because almost in every single case, people were, like, going after God, praying and seeking his face, and God starts showing up in ways that hadn't happened like that before, right? So we definitely play a role in this, and in our culture, in a church, to be hungry for God in such a way that we don't want him just for us, but we want people to become free outside of our own experience. I think that's an important thing. I think, you know, the gospel, when you talk about what the gospel is, it's like good news, right? Just so you know, like, the gospel isn't a set of doctrines. The gospel is God is so amazing that he came in a way to reconnect with you, and he did this through his son Jesus, and Jesus was like, you know what? I love you so much. I am going to come here, and I'm going to take everything that's keeping you from God, and I'm going to put that on myself so that you can connect to God, because that's where you are always designed to be, right? Like, that's the gospel, and then there's like a whole bunch of other good news, and some of it I'm going to share with you today. But I still feel like it's a continuation from last time, because one of the things that's always, like, he's always on talking to me about and moving me towards is, how do I help, how do I serve people to become who they're designed to be? And so that's what I'm doing today, but I'm doing it like in this cultural context too. It's like, who are we supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? This is what you're supposed to say to yourself, like, who am I supposed to be? Who am I designed to be, right? Because they work together. Because the more I step into my identity and you step into your identity, the more we step into our identity. Because we are the church. So I want to bring you to a scripture. And it's Ephesians, right? And Ephesus, like, was a city. If you don't know this, Ephesus was a city that it's one of these early cities that Paul, when he went on his first missionary journeys, and Jesus was getting talked about outside of the Jewish group around Israel, This was one of the places that he goes, right? And he writes back to them after he established a church there and he moves on to another place. He's writing back to them to help them navigate the space of growing in Christ. And if you could throw it up there. There we go. And he listen to how he phrases this. He says, but because of his great love for us. Now, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about God, right? He's talking about what he's done. God, who is rich in mercy, go to the next one, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And everybody's heard this, right? It's by grace you're saved. We hear that a lot. But so I want you to catch, he's tying this into the cross. He's tying this, what he's saying, into what Jesus did for us. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Is by grace we're saved. Go to the next one. And God raised us up with Christ. So we're raised alive with Christ. He comes out of the grave. It's referencing that. Listen to what it says next. And seated us. He seated you. He seated me, right? This is what the church is. With him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, right? The church, if I'm in Christ, Christ is in me, I don't know if you recognize this, but right now I'm in heavenly places with him seated. That's kind of a mind bender. It's like, okay, how does that work exactly? Right? My same answers before, I don't know, honestly. You know, I can give you a theological, you know, basis for this, but you know, in reality, there's this heavenly reality, like the kingdom of heaven is now. It's around us now, right now. Not only is it around us, it's actually in us, right? If we've received him, we've actually received the kingdom inside of us. So if we've got him inside, and so there's this dual reality that we live in that is really hard to understand. It is. But that doesn't make it not true. It just means that my little pea brain doesn't understand it. Right? So, I want to ask you a question. I love questions. Do you believe that about you? Now, when I say that, I'm not saying, do you believe it's true? Because you can have a scriptural understanding. That's true. Because Scripture says it, it's true. Right? There's nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't mean you actually believe it is true about you. You see what I'm saying? You can say, well, yeah, it has to be true. It must be true. It's true. But have you actually experienced that reality? Like, when you go about your day, is your reality with God such that when you hear that, you're like, yes, yeah, that's what it's been like this week. I've been seated with him. I feel it. I know it. It's been working. I see the evidence of it around me. When I connect to God, I experience that reality. Because that's an important question. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Like, we were worshiping that last song. There was something about it, right? He's been, like, on me. The presence of God's just been on me getting ready for this. And I found out, like, Friday afternoon. And he's been on me, and it's like, I don't know where we're going, God. And he's like, we're going somewhere. And he keeps giving me these downloads on things, right? And this weighty, I feel this weight around it. And I come into the worship service, and I could just feel his presence. I mean, it felt like I was in the presence of God. I could feel him, right? And I had this instant thought, because it's like, okay, I'm seated with him, right? And you recognize he's seated in authority. Like, there's no higher seat, right? He's like in the seat. And we are seated with him in the seat, okay? But at the same time, I recognize, like, I'm like, oh, man, you are so awesome. Oh, whoo. You know, it's like I'm off the seat now. I'm in front of the seat going, oh, God. The weightiness of his presence. And we occupy this space where there's all kinds of things in our relationship with him that are operating at the same time. But that reality of feeling yourself in the presence of God is part of being with him in heaven, experiencing heaven now. And I'm not saying that if you're not experiencing that, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. What I am doing is trying to introduce the idea that have we actually received everything we've been given? Is my expectation around what Jesus actually did, what I've been given, is it at the same level of God's belief around it? Or have I settled for some belief that's lower than that? And because I haven't experienced these things, part of the reason why might be that I don't have a belief system that supports it. See, because if you didn't catch in that scripture the reference to the cross and what Jesus did on the cross, right, you don't get to be good enough to sit in the seat with him. Right? You don't understand that. So if you did something stupid this week, it doesn't disqualify you for sitting in the seat. Okay? The cross took care of that. You said, because it's not because of what you do or don't do. It's not your ability. That would be the meaning of grace. He favors you because he favors you because he favors you because he favors you. All he's asking from us is to submit ourselves and get into him. That's all he's asking. Is if we will make that move inside of us and say, I'm not only believing you, I'm submitting myself to you, I'm going to follow you, I'm moving with you, you will move right into that space because you're choosing him. You're recognizing who he is. You're adopting that and saying, yes, I agree with that. That is my truth, my reality now. Now, it's a little more than just that, and I'm going to talk about that later. So let me introduce you to it. Let me go to John 17 on the screen. So I'm gonna read through this, and this is a little lengthy. I usually don't do this much scripture, right? So I'm really spiritual today. But I want you to see something that this is Jesus. This is like the red letter stuff, right? This is Jesus talking. This is one of my favorite areas to read. One of my favorite verses in the Bible are in this area right here. Because this is Jesus praying, like, for me. He's praying for you. Like, this is him talking about you specifically right now. When he made this prayer, he was talking about everybody that was going to come. And so he's well into the prayer. And then he says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about the disciples. I'm not just talking about the disciples. I'm praying also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Now, if there's a deficit in anything in the church, to me, one of the biggest deficits is oneness. And I think the reason why is part of what I'm talking about. Because the more I'm in him, the more I get into him, the less I'm going to have a problem with other people. Because he doesn't have a problem with them, especially if they're believers, right? I should have the least problem with believers, no matter how stupid they act, right? They're just having a bad day. And Jesus is so forgiving and loving, right? Shouldn't I be forgiving and loving too? I'm going off on a tangent here. I'm going to bring that rabbit back in. Okay. That all may be one. Look at where we at. We're at 21. That they all might be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So he's liking this to his relationship with God. That the Father, that God is in him and he is actually in God. He's like, this is who we are together, God. May they also be in us. Why? I'm not going to talk about this today that much, right? But think about this. Why? So the world may believe that you have sent me. How are they going to know that Jesus actually was sent? Because how we're one with God. I've given them the glory that you gave me. Okay, I could just stop and preach on that. This is rich. But he's tying in oneness with him that you also, because you're one with him, you're receiving the glory that Christ have. I don't know how much you've experienced that glory, but do you recognize that if you're seating with him, you probably get to have glory too? Because he's got a lot of it. In fact, he pretty much has all of it. Hope this doesn't mess with anybody's theology today. I lost my place. 22, I've given the glory that you gave me, yes. That they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be, still talking about the future, brought into complete unity. So he says it. He says it again. He says it again. He's like, throw some glory in there, and he says it again. Okay, now I'm going to skip to verse 26, and this is how it ends, right? This is the end. And that I myself may be in them. Okay, does anybody question that Jesus said, I want to be in you? Is anybody questioning that? And do you think he's talking like literally in us? Probably so, right? I don't think he's being figuratively here. So there's a reality in which he literally comes inside of us. Now, if he's tying him being in us, us being one with his glory, do you think that ties back to the first scripture I just talked about? That we're sitting with him in heavenly places if we are one with him. If I'm not experiencing sitting with him in heavenly places, could it be I'm not as one with him as I've been designed to be? Could it be the struggle I'm having is learning how to stay in oneness with him, in connection with him, to move with him, to follow with him, to hear his voice and respond to him, to be led by the Spirit and move with him? Now, if in my life, okay, so one of the places we're going more is learning how to operate out of the scripture that says, go make disciples, baptize them, right? We're all designed for that. And we can see that in terms of, okay, we got to get out and do something, right? Think about this. If I am like in him, he is in me, and we are one together, and I'm out there on the planet Earth walking around, and God's like, ooh, I love that person. Go pray for them. I want to do something amazing, right? If I'm one with him and if I'm moving with him, I'll be like, ooh, man, this is going to be awesome, right? If I have fear around it, if I don't have a belief system that supports that, golly, why would I, me, seriously? How am I going to do that, right? If my belief system doesn't support that, that's an indication that my belief system isn't in line with the truth of what I've been given and who I am. So anytime I'm like reading in scripture or God's talking from the person standing up here about who we're designed to be, if I have something in me that goes, oh, really? That's not really working out for me. All it is a matter of identifying what I believe is not true so that I can be introduced to actually what is true and start moving into that truth. Because when, as I agree with that truth, it becomes part of who I see. So because that truth is what? The truth isn't information. Like just because I say, hey, this is who you are, right? Okay, see you later. And you walk out of this place. How many of you are going to be changed from that? Probably none, I'm guessing. My words aren't that impressive, right? They're just not that amazing. But if God says it to you, right? If I'm speaking and he says it to you, or you leave here and you're praying, you're God, and you hear God tell it to you, or you wake up and you have a dream and he's telling it to you in a dream, something, in some way, if God is the one communicating that to you, then it's very different. Now you have the choice of having faith or not having faith, right? That's what faith is. Faith comes by. You see what I'm saying? And so that's the point at which God's saying, come on with me. Agree with me about the truth about who you are. Because as you do, you're going to know what it's like to sit with him. You're going to know what it's like to be one with him. And so the title of my message is, Have You Received Since You Believe? So I would ask the question, have you received being able to sit with him? Have you received being able to be one with him? In this room right now, there are some of you, I know you'll be like, oh, yes, isn't it awesome? This is the best thing since apple pie. Whatever, you know, I couldn't think of anything better at the moment. Used to be sliced bread, but that's not very impressive anymore. You know, because there are people in this room right now that know exactly what I'm talking about, and they're able to walk it out, right? There are people in the room right now that are like, I've tasted it, but I don't know how to maintain that connection and walk. And that's okay. You're not broken, right? You're still becoming. But recognizing that is important, right? For if you're in that category, you really have to say, you know what? Part of the problem is I keep settling for a truth that's lesser than what I've been given. So engaging your will and saying, it's not okay for me to settle on my beliefs and say, well, this is all there is. Because there's a lot of doctrines in the church that come from this place of, well, this has been my experience, so this must be the truth. I'll give you an example of it. There's doctrines in churches right now that says people being filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't happen like it did in the book of Acts anymore. There are. And I don't think these people that have these doctrines, right, they come up with, most of them have them because there was like an organization that as it became organized, that was the doctrine they had because that was their reality. They couldn't get any further. They didn't know how to. So if that's the reality, then we have to have a doctrine for it. We have to have a reason why things are the way they are, right? But it wasn't malicious. It's not like I'm trying to make it hard on people, right? That's not where they were coming from. But what if it's not true? You see what I'm saying? So I could hold a belief. I could be with a group of people that believe a certain way, and we can believe a certain way right now. Do you realize that right now, I honestly don't believe I understand God completely? I don't think I have all the answers, that I've got this figured out, that I understand everything that we're supposed to be walking in. I am completely convinced I do not know that. You know, one of the great advantages of being in that place? It opens me up now for God to tell me something I didn't know. I find it really hard to argue with God when he's like, hey, do you know you're designed for this? I'd be like, really? That's cool. Let's do that. But if I'm like, no, that can't be God, because God doesn't believe that. You know, I've never done that before, really, seriously, right? No one does that. We argue with God, right? Because, you know, we know what God said because someone told us what the Bible said, or we read it in the Bible, we figured it out. We know what God thinks. Okay, so if you ask me, you'll get a lot of I don't knows. I'm okay with that. I hope you're okay with it. If you're not okay with it, you go find somebody else. I'm sure someone will have an answer for you. Just saying. How am I doing on time? Okay, still got time. Whew. Just so you know, like this is like weighted on me. Did I lose a page? Okay, there we go. This is like weighted on me, right? And I haven't had enough time for God to tell me how this ends. So we're both going to be surprised, okay? Just so you know. Okay, so let's go to Acts 19 now. And I want to kind of bring it down some more to kind of figure out where we're at. So this is Paul, right? He's trucking on the road. So it says, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Okay, interesting note, right? These guys in the story here might be the same guys he was writing to when we first started this. When I read out the book of Ephesians, just a thought. Wouldn't that be crazy, right? That these guys are the same guys. There he found some disciples, right? Now, assuming like they're disciples, right? And there's an assumption here. They were followers of Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus. Like, we are following Jesus. There's 12 of us, and we're hanging out together, and we are followers of Jesus there. They're having an awesome time. They love you. Jesus is amazing, right? These are believers. They believe in Jesus. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, why would he ask them that? They're believers. Don't you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe? Right? Isn't that like automatic? I know for some of you, I am poking at a belief system. I know. There's doctrines. There have been churches that taught things like this, right? But I'm not coming up with this. Like, I'm not making this up. If you don't believe the screen, there's probably a Bible on your phone right now. And they answered him, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, think about this, right? Paul, he is basically starting the church outside of Jerusalem and Israel. That's what's happening here. He is basically starting the church. He's the ultimate evangelist. This guy didn't have a choice much. His story is God, he's actually killing Christians. If you don't know the story, read in the book of Acts. It is an amazing story, right? Paul, whose name was Saul at the time, he was a Pharisee. He worked for the temple. He was going around killing Christians because they were all like against God. They had this new belief that obviously couldn't be true. And so he was out there killing them. And one day he's trucking along to another place and God goes, whack. Okay, so there are times God will whack you, just saying. But as a theology, this is very rare, okay? It's very rare. He hits him so hard, he's blind. Right, I'm just being figurative with that too, just so you know. He's literally blind, and he hears God talk, and God's like, yeah, I'm the one. Jesus, I'm Jesus, and I'm the one you're fighting against. How bad would you feel? Right? That might be the worst day of a person's life, that you found out you were killing God's people. I don't know if you could do anything worse, right? But Jesus is so merciful to this, right? He's just so merciful. He's like, but I know your heart. What I want you to do is I want you to go find out from this dude what it means that what you need to do to be right with me. So he goes over there. He hears that, right? He complies, and he's like, okay, I'm all in. This is obviously God. Boom, his sight comes back. Then God spends a couple years with this guy, talking to him in the desert for a couple of years. He finally comes back out of the desert, and he goes to Peter, and he's like, hey, you're the man I need to talk to. And he's like, whoa, you're Saul. Whoa, dude, heard about you. You know? And he's like, hey, no, Jesus, talk to me. We've been talking for a while now. This is what he's been telling me. And Peter's like, wow, that's everything that happened with us. So they're like, they're on the same sheet of music. And so now he's cruising around. He is like fully convicted of, I need to go tell people about Jesus. Right? I'm pretty sure any of us have that experience. You couldn't stop us from talking about him, right? You need him, you need him, you need him, you need him. Everybody needs him. That's what this story is. Now, so not only did he believe you need to have the Holy Spirit, right? And just because you believe doesn't mean you get it. Then he asked this question. Well, because think about it. If they all had a common experience, okay, well, hold on a second. You never heard there's a Holy Ghost? Then his next question, well, then how do you get baptized? Because if you're a believer in Jesus, this don't make sense right now. So he asked him, how do you get baptized? And he's like, well, we got baptized under John's baptism. Oh. Okay, John baptized into repentance, right? And he said, well, that's cool. So he just sends them on their way. Well, no, he doesn't. He says, okay. So he explains to them, and you know he explained to them something because of why. What happens? John baptized into repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, he obviously said more than this, right? This is like the short, abridged version, because the book of Acts would have been crazy long if they put all the details in. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, does anybody want to tell me Paul did not tell them to get baptized in the name of Jesus. Just saying. You can argue with me until you're blue in the face. And I'm like, yeah, that might be cool to baptize some other way. Right? I understand the Catholic Church did that for a long, 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 long time. But Paul didn't. Peter didn't. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot me. I'm not anti-Christian. I'm not anti-anything. I'm pro-God. Right? I am pro-disciples following them. That's it. So he believed it so much. He's like, okay, you know what? You can have the Holy Spirit. You never heard of the Holy Spirit? Hey, well, did you get baptized? We got baptized in John. Okay, well, let's get you baptized right. Why? If it wasn't important, he probably wouldn't have brought it up, right? And if anybody's going to know, the guy that got the smackdown from God himself would have known. He spent 2 years with him. So I'm not trying to poke you in the eye. Man, if you're uncomfortable right now and you're going, oh, seriously, Sean, really, you're going to bring this up? Oh, man, this is uncomfortable right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy, okay? But I'm kind of like Paul in this. I don't have a choice. If I told you anything else, if you walked out of here and you said, yep, Sean believes in something other than believing, baptized in the name of Jesus, I have to answer to him for this. That's the responsibility of teachers. They carry a weight on them, and they're responsible for what they say. I don't take that lightly. So if you want to, cut the tires on my car, I'll be okay. Cut the tires, okay, if that makes you feel better. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you want to be mad at me for that, you can be, but I'm not the one that said it. I'm just repeating what's been said. So what if you just believed it? What if we said, okay, you know what? Maybe we have done some things wrong. Maybe we have believed things in a way that haven't worked for us really. Because there's two things that need to happen here. I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Why? Because it's an identity issue. See, we describe baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit and believing in Jesus. We always talk in terms of being saved and not saved. And it's a convenient way to talk about it, right? But I think that's oversimplification of things. I don't know when you're saved and not saved. There's no like gauge on your forehead. Says saved. Oh, well, you're saved. You know? Because if you want to get baptized, you can go get baptized in Jesus' name. Right? And you can say you're a believer all you want. If you don't really like Jesus or you don't really want to follow him, you want to do your own thing. I don't want to go to hell. That's why I'm doing it. I can't tell you you're saved, right? Because it ain't because like the water's magical. You know what I'm saying? The devil believes Jesus is real. He sees him all the time. He's always getting a black eye from him. He knows him a lot. But that doesn't make him saved, right? So it's like knowing about him, there's something about our hearts in this matter that is hugely important about how we enter into this thing. And if you want to argue about it, you're like in your heart, like, I don't know if this is true, or I don't know, like my aunt, she's the one that introduced me to Jesus, and she didn't get baptized that way. Sean, are you saying she's not saved? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have a doctrine for, you're saved, you're not saved, you're saved, you're not saved. That was saved. I don't have a doctrine for that. No, God's not going to ask me, hey, what do you think? Are they saved? You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't help me to put on people in the past. God's a just God. He will do what justice looks like for God. But that shouldn't stop me from operating according to what I know. So I have to give you the truth that I know. And you have to make a decision about the truth that you know, right? And so there might be people in this house right now that have never been baptized in Jesus' name. There might be people in this house right now that you've never received the Spirit of God because you were told that when you believe, you get the Spirit of God. If that was true, this probably wouldn't be in here. I can't tell you how many times in the book of Acts where, and then they received the Holy Spirit. And it was after they believed. Or there's even instances before they got baptized. But something happened, and the writer and the people knew, whoa, God just showed up and he filled you with him. They knew it. The people around them knew it, right? But is that our church experience today? Or have we just made it and said, okay, you know what? Maybe that's not true. Maybe it happens like this. Maybe we've created our theologies to fit our experiences because that's the only thing we can do, right? Because we don't know how to do anything else. But there is another option. If I haven't experienced God in such a way that, you know what? I know I was filled with him. I can tell you it happened right then because it was amazing. If that is not your experience, you might not be filled. I am not saying you're not filled because I know people, right? Because of their theology they came out of. They came out of like a Baptist church, and you couldn't, like, you couldn't do that there. You know, that you just, they would be like, whoa, buddy, sorry, you need to go. You know? And so, but God worked with people, and it's like he snuck up on them because their heart was right. They wanted God, and the culture didn't permit it, and God worked with that. But that's not plan A. That's probably plan B. Plan A, I think, is having a culture in which God is free to come into you in such a profound way, it feels like your hair is popping out. Or, you know, this is what it was like for me. Okay, so I learned that you could have the Holy Spirit before I went to Korea and met my wife. That's a whole long story. I do not even have time to get into that. Awesome. One of these days, I got to put that in video. She was going to be a Buddhist monk. I didn't even know it. It was amazing. Long story. But I knew you could get the Holy Ghost. Now, I come from a Catholic Lutheran background. So when I went to, I came back from Korea with my brand new wife. She couldn't speak English. I couldn't speak Korean. But we just love each other, you know, and it's like, oh, you are so beautiful. Love you guys. I knew I needed a church that you could get filled with the Holy Ghost in because I saw what that does, right? And so I went to this place, and I guess it took about a month, right? You know, and we're going to church, and it's just like, man, God's showing up. People are getting filled with the Spirit of God. You know, and it's just like, it's like, wow, you know, kids just worshiping God. Just, they're like, oh, it's amazing. It's like, this is like nothing I've experienced before. And I could feel God in the preaching. Right? So it took about a month. And I'm like, I want to be filled, you know, and I'm just praying. And I've been trying to be filled, right? Trying. Oh, God, fill me. That doesn't really work. And something happened where I just like, I need you more than anything else. I just want you. And something happened to where I stopped trying, and I it was more of letting go and just giving myself to him. And I couldn't see straight. My wife had to drive home, and she'd been in the country about a month. She didn't have a driver's license. I don't even know if she knew how to drive. But I couldn't see. I mean, like, literally, everything was blurry. And, okay, and this was my experience. I've never heard this with anybody else, so if this happens to you, fine, but don't look for this, right? My nose was numb. I have no idea how that happens. But literally, my nose, you could touch my nose. I couldn't feel my nose. Right? I spoke in tongues. Now, when I say that, you're like, ooh, okay, I'm going to go back to, if you go, ooh, right? I didn't come up with that. That's in the book. That's like normal. For people that are free to actually receive the Holy Spirit, tongues shows up. Why? It's not so like, I can prove to you I have the Holy Ghost because I spoke in tongues. It was God letting me know, see, that is definitely me. Right? That's what it is. It's for you to know that. When you get it, when you're filled, that's what he's doing. He's like, you're worshiping God, and it's coming out like, I have no idea what I'm saying, right? But it's so that he's letting me know, hey, that's definitely me. So do we have a freedom for that? Do we have a freedom to receive the Spirit of God the way he wants to show up? Or are we so concerned about how we're going to look bad, you know? Because it wasn't very dignified. There was snot everywhere, okay? I'm glad there was no pictures. And just that being said, no pictures in sanctuary. Okay? It's not dignified, but it's important for it to happen the way he wants it to happen. Because if I'm his, right? Good timing on the music, man. Yes. He's like, start closing it down, Sean. How do we have a culture where we're free no matter where we're at? Like if you're in this room right now and you're like, I don't know that I have the Holy Ghost. I might not. I mean, I've had experiences, but I don't know if I have actually been filled with him. Do you know that's what you're designed to have? Why? Because he wants to be in you, literally. He just said it. I will be in them. I want to be in you. Right? That's what he wants. He didn't die so you can go to heaven. He died so that he could be in you. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way. He died to reconnect with you. Right? He's not bored in heaven and needs more people. He wants oneness. He values you so much, he wants to be one with you. So if you know, I've never received the Holy Ghost, I've never been baptized, you can get baptized today. They will have that water. Is ready? We will baptize you. If you want to receive the Spirit of God, it would not surprise me today he shows up and wham, you receive it. But I tell you what, if you don't get it like that today, that doesn't mean nothing happened. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. That doesn't mean he's rejecting you. Because he is working on you. His program, his plan, his desire, his will, whatever you want to call it, is to be one with you. So if it doesn't happen like in this instant, his agenda is, I'm going to get you. And so baptism is you being baptized into him, being filled with the Spirit is him being put inside of you. If you have experienced that, now I'm going to back up to where I was before. Could it be that part of our struggle around sitting in heavenly places is because we haven't learned how to operate in all of what it takes to stay seated with him? Because for some of you, that you need to be filled with the Spirit. For others, you need to learn how to stay in connection and grow in the connection. Because as you grow in the connection, you are going to be challenged by his voice, him talking to you. He's going to talk to you out of scripture. He's going to talk to you when you're praying. He's going to talk to you when you're sleeping. He's going to talk to you when you quiet your mind about things that you move you into more connection, more relationship, more of the truth that makes you you, the truth that frees you to see him as he is, the truth to see other people the way he sees them, the truth to navigate in your relationships in a way that brings life and not death. This is what he's bringing you to. This is what it looks like to be seated with him. And just because you haven't experienced all of that doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It just means you haven't received all the revelation you're designed to receive. You haven't come into all the agreement you're designed to agree with. And he is more than dedicated to that process with you. I want to join with God. I want you to join with God. What does it look like for you to be fully you according to what he says is true about you? What would it be for us to have a culture in this house that promotes that amongst each other? Not just from the platform, but everybody sitting in a seat right now is like, this is what I do. God, how do I encourage? How do I give a good report? How do I love on the people around me that are in this house so that we can make a culture that facilitates people becoming people getting filled, people getting baptized, people becoming one, people stepping into their seat with him. And when they get up and they walk out because someone poked them in the eye, we're helping them remind them who they are so that they'll step back into that place and say, okay, I need to rest with him. I'm going to say a challenging statement. I'm like, really? I'm going to say this, and I'm telling you it's with all love, and this is like seriously challenging, and I know it, okay? And I've never heard someone stand up in a pulpit and say this. So I'm like, really? Just know that's where my heart is. If you don't want what I just said, I would ask the question of, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Because that's what God's doing here. That's why he shows up. As jacked up as we are, week after week, messing things up, poking people in the eye, coming back, he meets us here because that's what he's doing. And if you don't want that, why would you come? It's not enough to be like, oh, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it, Sean. I'm asking you to be all in with what he's doing. In the first place, I'm asking you to be all in with you. And then the second place I'm asking is to be all in with everybody else around it. There's some typical ways we do things, and I'm like, I am so atypical. I don't want to do anything typical. Even throwing jokes right at the middle of altar call. So unspiritual. My question for you is, what is God saying right now to you? What has he said? What is he saying? And how are you going to respond to it? Because I could if you want, I can ask everybody to stand up, and I'll make it really easy for you. Let's all stand. But you know why I don't like doing that? Because it feels like I'm driving it. It feels like, okay, come on, right? And it's like setting you up for failure, because if you don't get the invitation, somehow you don't have the freedom to respond to God. Because you having freedom to respond to God is, if I'm up here preaching, it would not bother me a bit if I was halfway through my message and you heard God and you came down and you started praying and crying and doing whatever God's talking to you about. See, that wouldn't bother me. That would not be out of order for me. I wouldn't go, oh, that's terrible. God's talking to them and they are opening their heart to him. How dare they interrupt my message? It's so important. You see what I'm saying? And so when we do things like this, it can set up you need to have permission to respond to God. You don't need permission to respond to God. What you need is a boldness to respond to God. You need a determination to respond to God, that I'm not going to let anything keep me from responding to God. And so my question for you is, what is God doing that he's asking you to respond to? It doesn't necessarily mean coming down to the front. For many of you, it probably does, just because it's so hard for you to do it. I mean, if you find resistance to whatever he's saying, that's probably what he's asking. Just how it works. Whatever you're least likely to want to do, that's probably the thing he's going to ask you to do. Why? Because he's asking for you. He wants you. He wants your will. He wants your submission. He wants you to trust him. So I'm going to stop talking. They're going to sing, and I'm going to leave it between you and him, because I don't want to get in the way of that. So respond to him.